Hello and welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing audio podcast in association with Racing TV. I'm Joshua Stacey and I'm joined alongside Andrew Blair White as we go through the weekend's racing and have an early sneak peek look towards the Dublin Racing Festival. We'll be doing a proper in-depth Dublin Racing Festival preview over on our YouTube channel tomorrow morning. Do not miss it. But Andrew, you've been racing this weekend and you also probably watched the racing at Cheltenham on Saturday, I'd imagine. What did you think of the racing overall?
Yeah, it was great racing, Josh. As per the usual at this time of the year, it's really ramping up. You're trying to find all of these festival clues, but at the same time, there was some fantastic stories and some fantastic winners as well throughout the weekend. I was lucky to be down at Naas, a lovely course, got absolutely lashed on, mind, but it didn't deter the enjoyment of the day. And as always, when you're sitting in on a Saturday afternoon watching racing from Cheltenham, there's very few better sights.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to delving through all of the good racing over the last few days. And we will start then with Cheltenham on Saturday. And the first horse we're going to talk about is Pied Piper, who won the Triumph Hurdle Trial at a hat canter. Very, very impressive. What did you make of that performance?
That was a seriously good performance. The way he's just sluiced through them. Davy Russell hasn't moved a muscle. And this horse was hard on the steel, bounding up the hill. And he's really shook up that Triumph Hurdle market. As well, obviously, his stable mate and his owner mate, Phil Dore, was a pretty hot favourite, a pretty solid favourite at that. But he's really shook that market up with that performance. You'd have to wonder what he's ended up beating. I think the English juveniles this year have been fairly average overall. You mentioned on the preview video that you didn't think ICO of Paul Nicholls would suit Cheltenham, and it looked like it. It looked like another in a long list of young Paul Nicholls horses that's maybe won around the likes of a Kempton and then struggled with the undulations of Cheltenham. But you can't take it away from the winner because he could have won by any distance, really, and he's certainly well worth his space at near the top of the Triumph Hurdle market.
Well, he is actually at the top, and that space was filled by Phil Dore for a long time this season. He's now second favourite. Gordon Elliott said after the race that he still believes that Phil Dore is the better horse. That's what they show at home.
Perhaps so, but Phil Dore is kind of a very different type of horse. He'll only do whatever he's asked to do, and we've got nowhere near the bottom of his ability just yet either. Pied Piper coming from the flat is probably that little bit more flashy, does a lot of work on the bridle, and you wouldn't know just how much is beneath the bonnet if push came to shove and a really good horse came and loomed up beside him. But very tough to split these two horses. We had a similar situation last year between Zanahir and Quilixios, and Gordon said Zanahir was the better horse, and possibly Zanahir was the better horse, you know, going forward and even last year. But that being said, at the end of the day, Quilixios won the Triumph. So it's a big head scratcher for all of us trying to decipher that race.
What's your thoughts on the angle regarding Vauban, who finished second to Pied Piper in the maiden hurdle? I know he fluffed the last, he had to go around the outside and maybe lost a few lengths there. Do you see the angle with him?
I saw the angle at bigger prices, and I know you've been very keen on this horse, Josh, throughout the year, and have kind of advised him at a 25-1 before he ran, and 16s and stuff like that. The fact that this horse is now 4-1 for the Triumph Hurdler in and around that price is a crying disgrace, really, for a horse that's only finished second in a juvenile maiden. I think Pied Piper, it's fair to say, has come massively forward for that run at Punchestown, and I just thought, certainly after the race, initially some bookmakers went Vauban shorter than Pied Piper. I don't really know why that was the case, whether it's just a thing to be trendy now to just think that Vauban's going to win the Triumph Hurdle. We'll see more from him, obviously, this weekend, but I'm certainly holding out until I see what he can produce in that spring juvenile hurdle, because at the moment he, unfortunately, is slipping into wise guy's territory.
What's going to be interesting in the Triumph Hurdle is I think Pied Piper, Phil Dore and Vauban will all be going into it with a graded win by their name last time out. I don't think Phil Dore is going to run at the weekend. I think they're going to go straight to Cheltenham with him, which would leave that race very open for Vauban. I suspect that he will win, and it'll be very interesting to see how that form lines up. And if he's impressive and Pied Piper is impressive, maybe that form of that maiden hurdle is stronger than anything Phil Dore's done this season. But at the same time, there's no correlation with the form between Vauban and Phil Dore and Pied Piper. So it's very interesting. Chantry House won the Cotswold Chase. It looked laboured, and Santini wasn't a million miles back. Is there any chance this horse wins a Gold Cup?
I would doubt it. Now, I'm quite a big fan of Chantry House, which is a little bit strange. It's not usually the type of horse I'd be a fan of. And I was kind of trying to make it feel more impressed on Saturday with the whole performance, but it was fairly laboured. And more so than anything in terms of his finishing effort, it's more his jumping in the mid part of the race, which was scruffy, it was indifferent, and it was only a 5-runner race. They were going an average enough tempo. And you just worry that he's going to maybe do what Champ did last year in the Gold Cup, or what Chantry House himself did in the King George. And after the mile, he's just run off his feet, makes a few jumping mistakes, and soon the goose is cooked. I couldn't be having him at this stage. He's potentially the type of horse that still might have a chance if you brought him back for a Betway Bowl at Aintree. I wouldn't be giving up on the horse long term, but certainly this year he looks unpolished and probably a little bit short of the mark in the Gold Cup market.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It did look very laboured, and it wasn't as visually impressive as I wanted to see against that field. Champ, Paisley Park miraculously beat Champ in the Cleve hurdle, gave him 12 lengths at the start and a beating, and he looked comfortable at the line doing so. And look, I'm a massive fan of Champ, and I made a big thing of it on the latest video that I think he's a solid horse in the Stayers hurdle. He still finished in the top two. It was a lacklustre run, and if I'm going to be completely honest, I just think that he was simply beaten by an extremely good horse who was having one of his days. And Paisley Park was brilliant. How he won, I will never know. Champ did seem ever so slightly off it. I don't think it was an awful run, but he didn't seem the same Champ that turned up in the Long Walk hurdle. What I would say is you look back at last year's campaign, and he was a good second in the Game Spirit on return, then went to the Gold Cup on his next start and was pulled up. Maybe that's happened here and the run's below par. I'm not sure how much he's going to kick on from the weekend, and it would definitely dampen my thoughts with Champ. I still think that race is completely open. Any one of the front six in the market has got a chance of winning the Stayers hurdle, and Champ is included in that. And if Champ's back to his best, or Nicky Henderson can get him to improve from what we saw at the weekend, then he will be bang there. But you could say that about Time Hill. You could say that about Flooring Porter. You could say that about Classical Dream, Sporting John, and even Paisley Park. So it's an extremely open race. I'm not sure we learned a heck of a lot other than when Paisley Park is back to his best, he is very, very good. Do you think there's any way that Paisley Park can follow that win up in the Stayers hurdle? Because I thought it was seriously impressive.
Yeah, he was impressive. And look, it was a great story and great to see him back to, I suppose, the performances that he was putting in before winning the race back in 2019. And you have to remember, he was such a good Stayers hurdle winner back then. And it didn't look like he was almost ever going to get beat. And then he rocked up the next year and it was all going perfectly until Cheltenham, where he disappointed and he had his heart problems. He seems to have been anointed as a bit of a people's horse. I suppose I'm slightly putting, you know, raining on the parade. He's never been a horse that's really done it for me. I don't really know why that is. He's the type of horse that a lot of people get behind. I just thought really that the race on Saturday was just a fairly average race in the end. As you say, Champ was under par, but you kind of can't really say what reason for. Maybe that's an angle you've got there where he's very, very good fresh, and maybe next time out he can sometimes not come on as much as you think for that first run. But that's really the only thing you'd be scraping at. Lisnagar Oscar was setting them along. McFabulous has never really took to Cheltenham, and he's probably a soft enough finisher at 3 miles. And Paisley Park's been able to whip around at the start and still win comfy. Now, if he whips around at the start in the Stayers hurdle, he's absolutely cooked. There is no chance of him winning the race if he whips around at the start, because you've got Flooring Porter, Classical Dream, horses that are going to go forward and going to go at a tempo. And I must say, throughout what happened with Champ and what happened with Classical Dream as well in the Galmoy on Thursday, it was equally disappointing. It's just strengthened my thoughts on Flooring Porter for the race. That I think people are just trying to find different angles into a race when actually last year's winner is still staring at you in the eye. And I can't see Paisley Park beating Flooring Porter personally.
It will be interesting to see if he does jump off. I thought we saw a really good mare in the bumper at Cheltenham, trained by Milton Harris, Mullenbeg. She'll now go potentially to the champion bumper. What did you make of that performance? I know you put her up on the Tipstar competition this year.
Yeah, no, I was very pleased that because I had poor luck in the Tipstar competition last year. So she did it very well and the race kind of went as I thought it would. The first two in the market were underperformers, and hopefully Fergal's mare certainly kind of pulled up pretty abruptly, but she seems to be okay. I think this is a really quality mare. I wouldn't be against her running in the champion bumper. I don't see any reason why not. Milton Harris doesn't seem to be the one to shirk away from challenges, but that being said, if you were to give me one race that I just couldn't see her getting beat in between now and the end of the season, it would be probably the Grade 2 Mare's Bumper at Aintree. I think probably a flatter track. She's got so much speed that I think a track like Aintree would just play into her strength so much. But Milton Harris, I must tip my cap to this guy. He obviously had some time out of the game. He's gradually been getting back into it. But he's got an awful lot of horses that he's bought for next to no money. Like, this horse was bought for 42 grand. She's already worth three times that. Like, he's done very well with very limited resources, and this looks a real star in the making. And if they can keep the lid on her, keep her improving, you wouldn't know when she could get to.
I thought she was great. Since the last audio podcast, there's been a few earthquakes in the anti-post markets, none bigger than Fernie Hollow, who has been ruled out of the Arkle and the remainder of the season. The Arkle's now blown wide open. Is there value in Blue Lord at the top? And I suppose Third Time Lucky won at Doncaster at the weekend. Does he now come into the picture?
I suppose he is to a certain extent, but he still needs to learn to probably settle that little bit better if he wants to have a proper chance of staying well enough to win an Arkle. Real sad news, obviously, with Fernie Hollow. It's the second year on the trot now that we're not going to see him at Cheltenham. And he's such a good horse, we all know it. And it's kind of blown, as you say, it's blown the race wide open. If you like Blue Lord, I'd back him before the weekend because I think he'll win at the weekend in the Irish Arkle. And he's 11-4. If he wins the Irish Arkle, he'll probably be 7-4, 6-4. Personally speaking, I wouldn't be rushing to go and back him right now. But that being said, probably of the remainder in there, he'd be the horse that I would think is the most likeliest winner of the race. I'm still not convinced about Riviere d'Hôtel. She's done an awful lot of running prior to Christmas and obviously at Stephen's Day. And she's going to have to now go and prove it without getting so much allowances. So I'd just be interested in that. There's a few other Mullins lurkers in there. Halt on Calour, St. Sam. Is one of them maybe going to stay to 2 miles? They might represent a bit of each way value, but probably Blue Lord, the most likely winner at this stage.
I agree. I think whoever wins that Irish Arkle at the Dublin Racing Festival this weekend will most likely win the English Arkle as well. The Mare's Novice Hurdle usually has a couple of interesting trials for the race. Not so much trials, but races that Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott like to chuck their top novices at, and they usually go very well at the Cheltenham Festival. One of them's this weekend, the 2 mile 2 handicap hurdle for mares, and the other one was the Solarina Mares Novice Hurdle, who was ran at the weekend. We had Brandy Love, Grongy, and Allegory Devassi, and Allegory Devassi did win, but that didn't tell the full story. Brandy Love jumped violently out to her left. That might suit Cheltenham, and Grongy obviously came down when looking a good threat. How would you assess that race?
Well, obviously, there's going to be a hint of bias because I've put Brandy Love up at the start of the season for the Mare's Novice. I know people are getting a little bit frenetic about that she's going to start running out at Cheltenham. If you go back to her run at Nace at the start of the season in a Mare's Maiden Hurdle, throughout the majority of Nace, there isn't any wing on the inside either, and she jumped, you know, straight as a gun barrel. I don't know what happened to her on the weekend. She jumped violently to her left, very erratic. She didn't jump well. She was giving away plenty of lengths. But at the end of the day, she's still only been beaten 3 lengths, which I think is a fantastic run, really, given how much ground she's given up. If anything, I know a lot of people have drawn a line through her because of her erraticness. If anything, she's gone up in my estimations for being that close despite doing so much wrong. A little bit like when York Hill got beaten at the Easter Festival at Ferry House a few years ago by Road to Respect, having jumped into Dublin and back. I thought Grangy was an eye catcher. I thought she was coming to run a big race, and I think she's been pushed. Like, she's now 14-16 to 1 in comparison to the favourite, who's now 5 to 2. And I think Grangy could have easily won the race potentially. And the one out of all of them, Allegory de Vassy, she did the most right, to be fair. She jumped well, she quickened up, and she's won the race. Out of all three, she'd be the least, I would fancy, in the Mare's Novice. She has to carry £5 now as a penalty, and I think she's a rubbish price, actually. The race kind of fell in her lap on Saturday. She did what she had to do, but her main two market rivals, one has jumped into the car park and one has fallen, so... she's now got £5 for a fairly flaky-looking form line, and I'd take the other two mares to reverse that form at Cheltenham.
Yeah, the one thing about Allegory de Vassy is she was very professional in comparison to the other two, and maybe that might pay dividends at the Cheltenham Festival. You were at Nace, as we discussed at the start of the podcast, and you saw Statler win the first race, and I know you're a massive fan of Run Wild Fred. Did that get you scared at all?
It's going to be a bit controversial, but no, it didn't really. Look, Statler was very good, and I'm actually a very big fan of Statler. He jumped indifferently at Nace on Sunday, which was unlike him because he jumped so well on his beginner's chase debut. He grounded out well. He's going to be a short price now for the National Hunt Chase. Patrick Mullins is going to ride him. Look, he has a very good chance. I just don't like the angle of these, you know, lightly raced Mullins horses. We've seen plenty of them get tipped over, carefully selected, Bally Ward, the likes of those. You know, the only horse they've won it with in recent years was Rath Vinden, a very experienced horse. Run Wild Fred has more of the profile for that race, but I know you're going to potentially laugh at this one, Josh. I thought it was a cracking run from Vanillier on Sunday in the exact same race as Statler's. He was bang there all the way, jumped an awful lot better, giving the first two £8. And I just know with this horse that he's being campaigned solely with this race at Cheltenham in mind. And for people that say, oh, well, he can't reverse form with Statler, he beat Statler 11 lengths in the Bartlett last year. And you're getting 14 to 1 about him, around 3.5 times the price of the favourite Statler. And I must say, if Fred wasn't to rock up in the race, because I know that's a little bit of an if, I might be on the big grey from Gavin Cromwell's yard.
Wow, I did not expect to hear those words from your mouth this evening. That is interesting. St. Felician was beaten by Durasso on the same card. What did you make of his run, and where would you go with him?
I don't know where you'd go with him, Josh. I thought, I know this is going to be a little bit controversial, I thought it was a rubbish run. I thought everything was there for him to go and win the race. I thought there was a massive reputation going into it. I thought he'd win. I thought he'd win well. Durasso's no more than a grade two horse and probably wants a trip these days as well. And he's been well stuffed. And I could well have this, you know, thrown in my face, and I'm more than gladly do so. But I wouldn't back him for any race at Cheltenham, really. I see people are getting their you know, hopes up now of him in the County Hurdle or something like that. I'd let him be for this year. I think he'll be a stone better horse over a fence next season, and I'd probably be looking to take him on for the majority of this year.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd probably agree. I thought he was very disappointing, and you'd imagine he's got a mark in the high 140s now, maybe low 150s, and that might be quite high for what he showed at the weekend, unless Gordon Elliott had March in mind, and he didn't run extremely well with a purpose. Maybe they wanted him to have a nice handicap mark come the festival. That's the only excuse I can think of. On the same card, we had a few nice prospects win. Champion Green, The Nice Guy, and Seabank Bistro. Did we see a Cheltenham Festival contender in any of those?
I would say Seabank Bistro is probably going to be the Dysart Dynamo of this year. A little bit of a slow burner, very green. Might wait to punch us down with him. Doubt he'd go to Cheltenham. The other two very nice horses. The Nice Guy won a decent enough maiden hurdle, jump super as well. I don't know where you'd pitch him in. Maybe a Ballymore or a Bartlett. You'd probably need to get one more run into him. Maybe the Michael Purcell at Thurles looks an obvious race for him. And Champion Green, I'll let you take it away with him. He's got every chance in the Boodles. Now, you were getting a bit jumpy about his form on the weekend when you put up that thing on Twitter, and I quickly had to say that I myself could have placed in that race. But no, he did it very nicely. Good to get him get a win on the board, get his confidence up. He's a nice little jumper as well. And as you said, and as you've alluded to a couple of times, a strong pace is probably going to help him settle So he'd have to have a chance in the Boodles.
Yeah, the harder they go, the better he'll be, I think. I was very encouraged by his jumping. Looked very quick away from the hurdles as well. And I do think he'd go to the Boodles with a great chance. And I imagine he'll have a mark where he would be competitive in a race like that. I didn't actually mention anything about form on the tweet, but thank you very much for putting me back in my box for something that I didn't mention. But I just thought that he jumped well and it was a good performance and good to see him in front. So he'll be interesting to see if he runs. I know that the assistant trainer, Brendan Powell, said that we'll see what his handicap mark is and then decide if he is a Boodles horse or not. I suspect his mark won't be too high. And I think he will go there and go there with a good chance as well. Kilcrut was back to winning ways at Punchestown. And I was lucky enough to have a conversation with Barry Geraghty today. And we were talking about Kilcrut. And he said that he's bang there with Dice Art Dynamo and Sir Gerhard in the Supreme picture. Do you agree with him?
Well, he's probably got a little bit more faith than the rest of us. I certainly think he did it quite nicely. I think he's all in all a two-miler. I know some people are trying to get this horse to step up in trip. I think he travels with a lot of zest.
I saw a tweet, I must mention it, a response to my tweet about Kilcrut winning. And someone said the only chance he's got of winning at the festival is in next year's National Hunt Chase under Patrick Mullins.
Well, you do wonder with some people whether they're on the wind-up or not, but he travels extremely well in his races. I'm not really sure what he finds off the bridle. He looks always a little bit ungainly off the bridle, but I think he's a two-miler out and out. He's he should run in the Supreme. There's stranger things that have happened in the world than him running a big race in the Supreme as well. Like, I don't think this horse has lost his ability overnight. Look, he had to do what he had to do at Punchestown. It was a tin pot race, but it was good to see him, I suppose, get back to winning ways. And he wouldn't be without his chance in the Supreme based off his bumper form. If he can get it all right, and if maybe a little bit of sun on his back in March brings about a little bit more improvement, like, he could end up going into the race a bit of a forgotten horse.
I completely agree. He was one of those horses that immediately after the race the other day, I thought, if they're going to go Supreme, he's the type of horse where you've got these big four all running and he could easily finish second in a race like that. I think there might be one too good for him, but I could definitely see him running very well. I'm not sure what his handicap mark would be. And Willie Mullins said that he hasn't even thought about a Cheltenham handicap. But let's just say, I'm going to say this extremely hypothetical. He got a British handicap mark of 145. What would you do with him?
Well, I would still run him in the Supreme if he was mine. Look, I see people are trying to make a case for him for county hurdles and Martin Pipes and stuff like that. Like, I just, there's not a hope. Like, he was last year's champion bumper second. He was a grade one winner over a bumper. If you think he's going to get 1-4-5 for the British handicapper, like, I understand what you're doing from a hypothetical perspective, but I just don't see it happening. Like, and
yeah.
I just can't see him running in a handy. It's not the Mullins way, really. Like, he's got other horses in there, the likes of El Fabiolo, even the horse that won today down in Limerick, State Man. He might be a horse for a handicap now. I think he's a really nice horse, but he's got plenty of them. He might as well throw Kilcrut into the Supreme. It would be a real fall from grace if last year's champion bumper second is rocking up in the Martin Pipe.
Yeah, I would agree. And it was interesting to see that jockey booking on State Man today. Maybe an indication of where he could go at the Cheltenham Festival. Let's then look ahead to the Dublin Racing Festival. What a weekend of racing. My actual favourite weekend of racing all calendar year. It was brilliant. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be over there this year. I've made it an annual tradition to go over. It's brilliant. And if you've not yet booked on, you listen to this podcast and you're not doing anything this weekend, go over and buy tickets to the Dublin Racing Festival. Flights hopefully won't be too expensive. Stay anywhere in Dublin. It's pretty accessible and you'll have a brilliant time. And make sure you go out after. It's a fantastic place if you've never been before. But a couple of updates going into the Dublin Racing Festival. Mighty Potter will go straight to Cheltenham. He will not run in the 2-mile novices hurdle, the grade one against Sir Gerhard. And I think it's extremely unlikely that we'll see Phil Dorr as well. A combination of ground and Gordon Elliott just wanting to go to Cheltenham, I think it's still unlikely that he runs. I know he's still left in the race, like Mighty Potter, but I don't think we'll see him. But let's just look at the Dublin Racing Festival as a whole. We're not going to go into each individual race. We'll save that for tomorrow's video on our YouTube channel. Go over and subscribe if you haven't already. But is there any early fancies that you got your eye on?
Yeah, there's a couple in the handicaps, Josh, that I am quite keen on. I think, look, the grade ones, obviously they'll take more of a form in the days to come, but it wouldn't surprise me with an awful lot of them, whether we're seeing kind of, you know, relatively short-priced winners, you know, the likes of Honeysuckle, Gallop and Deschamps. Like, I don't see what horses are beating them, and they're going to be long odds on. So the value might end up lying in the handicaps. I know I put up one, I think, on this podcast this time last week, a horse called Fighting Fit, in the handicap chase on the first day, the 2 mile handicap chase. He'd still be my strongest bet of the entire week. He's 6-1 for the race. The Dempsey Yard is in cracking form, had another winner at Naas on the weekend, and this horse was a winner at Naas back on Lawler's a Naas day. I still think he's probably got a bit of room for a manoeuvre of 117. Other horses just to mention on the Sunday in their respective handicaps: DeLady in Red in the mare's handicap, Gallant John Joe in the 2.5 handicap chase, and Get My Drift in the big 2 mile handicap hurdle. Three horses, all at around double figure prices, around 10-14-1. Those are three horses that I certainly have on my radar.
I've got four horses on my radar for the Dublin Racing Festival, one being Journey With Me. I think he'll simply win the Nathaniel Lacey. And fun fact, I've never not picked the winner of that race. He's 9-4. He's favourite. I think the race will cut up, and I think he'll have too much for them. Journey With Me in the Nathaniel Lacey. This isn't so much a bet for the weekend, but is Ben Siegel, like we've mentioned on the podcast before, not just Jeff Kidder 2.0, running in the same race, will probably go to the Boodles, be chucked in, and will win for Noel Mead?
Potentially so. I suppose the only fear with Ben Siegel is if the race on the weekend cuts up massively, which there is small possibilities that it will, and he comes second and then he gets completely blown in the handicap. I don't know what way they'll ride him, but certainly if he was to come fourth or fifth, he'd be straight on your radar for the race.
Oh, big time. And then I've got one horse who this is very close to being one of my best bets. So this is a sneak preview, but Right Place, Right Time for Emmett Mullins is 20-1 for the 3 mile handicap hurdle. Used to be the William Fry. He's also entered in at Sandown 12-1. I think whatever race he runs in, he'll be extremely competitive because he needs to win to get into races at Cheltenham. I did think the sixth at Haydock last time out behind Don Levant was a good run as well. So Right Place, Right Time. I think he's got a mark of 113, or it's definitely in the teens over in Ireland. And I do think that's lenient for him and the Emmett Mullins camp. And then the other one that I like is January Jets at 8-1 in the 2 mile handicap chase for Henry de Bromhead. I know you like Fighting Fit in that race. I do think January Jets will go well, and I'm hoping that Rachel Blackmore will ride. And then one more topic before we finish this episode, and that's the William Fry, or the race that we're talking about. And it's the 3 mile handicap hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival. And it's traditionally been a race where Gordon Elliott has sent his novices or horses that he think will be competitive in a Martin Pipe or a Potemps, but mainly a Martin Pipe. And the four that he's entered are interesting because I was almost hoping for more. Dunboyne, Mars Harper, Farkless, Dallas Depictons. Do we think any of those is a Martin Pipe horse, or do we think any of those is a Potemps proper player?
Well, I suppose Dunboyne might be a Potemps player. He seems to be a very staunch stayer, needs every bit of 3 miles these days, ran a nice enough race in the Potemps qualifier. Probably would want to run quite well as well, just to make sure he goes up maybe a pound or two, to make sure that he's in at a nice weight for the Potemps itself. Didn't look the most inspiring other than that, though. I couldn't think that Farkless is going to run in the Martin Pipe. The other two might do, Dallas Depicton and Mars Harper, but they certainly wouldn't be top of my agenda. And mostly, as you well know, I've been banging the drum for many a year at this stage, the 2 mile handicap hurdle on the Sunday instead. We have Gringo Dobrell in there off a mark of 130. Now, he's the type of horse that I'd more so have potentially on my mind for a race of that nature.
There we go. Interesting handicap watch at the Dublin Racing Festival. Looking ahead to the Cheltenham Festival, which is only 6 weeks away. I cannot wait. I'm counting down the days. I'm crossing out those days on the calendar on the wall. Please do go over to our YouTube channel. Subscribe if you haven't already. Let's Talk Racing. And we'll be doing a Dublin Racing Festival comprehensive preview tomorrow morning.